I am Plant on the Line in Vancouver at thecommentary.ca. There's a book that's been out this fall that's a marvelous look back at our city, as well as a wonderful showcase of the work of a photographer who had lived in Vancouver during the late 1960s to the early 1970s. The book is called Seize the Time, Vancouver Photographed, 1967 to 1974. It's a chronicle of a tumultuous time in the life of this city. Vancouver was going from fairly peaceable, button-down, sleepy town right into the hullabaloo of the hippie phenomenon of the late 1960s. The contrasts are often humorous, quaint, and stark all at the same time. You look at the photographs in this book, and you sort of recognize the Vancouver of today, at the same time seeing just how remarkable the changes have been. Vladimir Karamidzhev joins me now. He was born in Germany and moved to Vancouver in 1957. He spent 7 years as a freelance photographer for outlets such as the Georgia Strait, the Vancouver Sun, and the Province. He documented the clamor of protests as well as the sensational musical acts that played here and around the region. Mr. Karamidzhev left Vancouver in 1974 and ended up in Australia, where I've reached him today. I'll ask him about his time in Vancouver, these wonderful photographs, and life since. He is a teacher of English as a second language in Sydney. The website for more is at photosbyvlad.com. This book is published by New Star Books. Please welcome to the Plant Online program, Vladimir Karamidzhev. Mr. Karamidzhev, good morning.
Good morning. I should say good evening. We're in the evening here.
That's right. Good evening in Sydney. You left Vancouver in 1974, is that right?
That's correct, yeah. Our plan was to go to the South Pacific, and there was sailing in the South Pacific. We were kind of looking to see if we could get on any sailboats and do a little bit of sailing down there, and which we succeeded in doing, by the way. We sailed from Tonga up to Samoa, to Apia, and there was a beautiful boat we found, the Lady Sterling from New Zealand, and we picked her up in Tonga. And they were short a crew because a couple of crew members got off there in Tonga. So they asked us, if we wanted to go and sail up to Apia. We'd already been in Apia, but that was okay. You know, kind of turned down a beautiful sailboat, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's the reason we left Vancouver. We intended only to leave for about a year or so, but as it turned out, we never went back for 5 years.
Yeah, and so you've lived there since?
Yeah, we've lived in Australia ever since 1974. We came here in at the end of October on Halloween, actually, it was. We landed in Sydney, and basically we've lived here ever since.
So all of these photos that are in this book, Seize the Time, you had all the negatives with you? They moved with you to Australia, did they?
Vancouver, we had every intention of returning within a year, and so everything was kind of packed away in people's basements and in their apartments and homes and scattered around among friends and relatives, and the negatives were also there. We came back, in, like I said, in five years later, and we thought, well, you know, we're going to stay in Australia, so we packed everything up that we could that was packable, and the negatives were part of that. And everything, then we had it all shipped out to Perth in Western Australia where we were living.
And so you knew you had the stuff, obviously, and then when did you start scanning them and putting them up online? Is that where we first saw them, I guess, online?
No, that's an interesting story, actually. It was New Star Books, Ralph Maurer, who contacted me. He sent me an email and basically said, "Are you Vlad, the photographer who used to take pictures for the Georgia Strait?" And I wrote back to him and I said, "Yeah, that's me." And he said that they were putting together a book called Vancouver City of Revolution and Love, or City of Love and Revolution, mm-hmm. Vancouver in the '60s by Lawrence. Monson, and he wanted to use some of my pictures, so he was asking basically for permission, and he was going to scan some photographs that he discovered in the archives of the Georgia Strait and put them in the book, and I said, no, don't do that, I've got the original negatives here, and I can just send you some JPEGs and put those in the book, because it'll be much haven't checked to see what they are. But 3 years ago, the book was The City of Love and Revolution was published in 2010. So I started to scan these some negatives, which I thought he would be interested in, knowing what the book was about, and sent them off to him. And he kind of liked them a lot, so he put them into the book. And then once the book was published, Ralph contacted me and said, "Look, you know, I really like your pictures. I think we should do a book of your photographs." And I said, "Well, let me think about it." I wasn't too sure whether I wanted to do this project or not, because I knew it would be a lot of work and it would be a big project. But of course, the result was, of course, I did it, and that's how that came about.
And these are photographs that really haven't been seen for about 40 years, right?
That's correct. Matter of fact, a lot of these photographs have never seen the light of day at all. They were never published. They were just stored away for 40 years. And so, well, when I left in 1974, the last pictures in the book that are Bob Dylan in Seattle, and those were the last pictures. And I had one of those photographs that's in the book, published in the Vancouver Sun. And that was the last published picture I had. And since that time, nothing has ever been published until See the Time came out.
Yeah. And the story about how you got to taking pictures is interesting. You didn't grow up with a camera and take photographs of stuff around you and the sort, right?
No, I didn't grow up with a camera. How I got the camera is part of the introduction of the book, which I presume you've read. So,
yeah.
You know, my friend Chris down in Los Angeles, he was a Vancouverite, and he came back to visit and brought a camera with him. And we went out and started photographing with his camera, having fun, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I really liked it. I really liked it. So eventually he went back to Los Angeles, and I thought, gee, I really enjoyed that. So I went out and bought a Pentax Spotmatic and started taking photographs. That was about, 65, 66, somewhere around there.
Mm-hmm. And you were what? You weren't even 21 yet, and you were already married. Is that right?
No, I got married. I got married at 20.
Yeah.
Before my 21st birthday. Same with my wife. She was 20 as well. And it was around that time that we started. I started taking photographs seriously.
Whatever happened to Chris?
He's back in Vancouver. He spent the last nearly 40 years in Los Angeles. He got married down there with the girl that he initially was the reason why he went back. And they got married, and after some years, quite a long time, they got divorced. And he met a girl here in Vancouver because his family's up here. He used to come up here quite regularly. And he got married, I think it was last year. And so he's living in New Westminster now, and we're still good friends. And when I was in Vancouver to launch the book, we spent some time together hanging out and stuff. So he's pretty much my oldest friend.
Do you still take photos today, Vlad?
Not very much, no. No, nothing serious. Snapshots.
Mm-hmm. But the photos in this book, I mean, they're just tremendous-looking photographs. I mean, you're obviously a professional then. Why do you think you gave it up?
Well, life moves on, I think. We settled in Perth and started to, struggle to get some things together. I started to take some photographs in Perth, and I did a bit of freelancing in Perth, did some fashion work, some industrial work and things like that. And I opened up a shop and opened up a market stall selling handicrafts and things like that, and just like we're doing.
Mm-hmm. When we look at the photographs in this book, we see a Vancouver that is changing. I mean, in those years, 67 to 74, the city, the world changed a great deal. For you, at the time, I mean, was it palpable as it seems, looking at these photographs?
I'm sorry, what was the question? Was it,
did you feel that the times were changing, that the city was changing as dramatically as it was then?
Absolutely. Oh, yeah. Everything was changing there. It wasn't just Vancouver, but the whole social society was changing. Everything was changing then. It was the era of great change. Somebody asked me, you know, what it was like, and I said, you know, kind of paraphrased pretty famous writers, the best of times and the worst of times. Mm-hmm. This was also, you know, this was the time when terrible things were happening. You know, Kennedy was assassinated, his brother was assassinated, Martin Luther King was assassinated, we had the Vietnam War, we had the beginning of terrorism came from that era. The PLO was blowing up airplanes in the desert, and the terrible things were happening, but at the same time, wonderful things were happening. The people were breaking out of the confines of the middle-class bourgeoisie life, and music changed and was just terrific. It was wonderful music in those days. Art changed. Everything changed in those days. It was a very idealistic time. You know, people thought they could change the world, and it was very optimistic in that way. So while we were facing all these terrible events that seemed to go on and on and on, there's a great optimism going on, especially among the young. You know, people in their teens and early 20s thought the world was going to change for the better and that they were at the cutting edge of it. As it turned out, it didn't quite work out the way they'd hoped.
In the afterword in this book, it was written by Jamie Reed. He says that you were an unseen participant in these events that you were chronicling. The folks that the hippies and the sort, I mean, that'd be your generation. Did you, in your photographic work, did you empathize with them? Were you part of that crowd?
I wasn't. As a photographer, I wasn't. As a photographer, you step aside and you observe and you watch. You participate in the sense that you are there, but for example, during all the marches and things, I wasn't actually holding a sign and marching. I couldn't. I was taking photographs, so I was doing that. Was I a hippie? Sure. You know, did I have long hair? Of course I did. I had long hair, and I smoked dope, and, you know, dropped acid, and all of those things. It was all part of the scene at that time, and we did that, and then we participated in that part of it. Enjoyed the music, and had a good time. But as a photographer, you have to step aside and observe it through different eyes from the participants. It's not the same thing being a participant and being a photographer.
And did you think at the time that you'd be capturing a changing time, essentially a historic time in the life of Vancouver?
I don't think so. I wasn't really thinking of the history of it. I was thinking of the day, of today and tomorrow. And I wasn't looking, 40 years ahead and thinking, you know, I'm going to publish a book about this. That wasn't where I was at. I was there to photograph it and come up with some good photographs. It wasn't, to me, it wasn't a history thing. It was a thing in immediacy. Right now, what does it look like? What can I do with this? And most of the time I tried to, of course, get it published, whether it was in the Georgia Strait or in the Vancouver Province and later in the Vancouver Sun. I wanted people to see the pictures. And I wasn't really concerned about, you know, getting paid for it. It was a matter of going out and taking good pictures. And becoming a good photographer is really what I wanted to be. I wanted to be a good photographer. And history is something in the past, you know. I don't see history in the future. I see history as being something in the past. And I wasn't living in the future. I was living in the present. And now, of course, it's in the past. And so... I think it's kind of cool.
Yeah, indeed. When you look at some of the photographs in this book, do you remember what you were thinking about at the moment that you hit the button and captured the image?
Yeah, for some of them I do. For others, no, not at all. I was so pleased when we said the process of publishing seized the time. Ralph had a young offsider who did some research on some of these photographs and came up with things on the photographs I'd totally forgotten about, totally forgotten what it was all about. And actually, you know, your memory plays tricks on you, and some of the things that I thought I knew about these photographs turned out to be completely wrong. So, yeah. No, I don't remember everything, that's for sure. I was quite surprised. I just started reading Keith Richards' book, Life, and on the back of it he says, believe it or not, I haven't forgotten any of it. Well, you know, I can't say that Keith is a better man than I am, considering the amount of drugs he took and what he can still remember. There's no way I could write a book as thick as, thick as his. I don't have that kind of memory.
I'm 31 years old, so I was born after 1974. Looking back at this, the photographs in this book and the captions that you've written, the anecdotes that you share in it, this pretty much is what life was like, isn't it? I mean, and it's a silly question, but I mean, the way that we see Vancouver in this book was the way it was then. I mean, this is as close as I'll get to it, right?
Yeah, absolutely. There's a truthfulness in the book Seize the Time. It really is the time that's on the cover there, you know, 1967 to 1974. It really was like that. I have a whole lot of other photographs I could have put in there that would illustrate it again and again and again, but it was the time. And I think that by looking through the book, you'll get a reasonable picture of it. And you know, if I was looking through the book today, as you know, someone like yourself, for example, I'd put on a couple of some music from the time there and browse through. I think you'd get the flavor.
One of my favorite photographs in the book is the shot of Tom Campbell, the mayor, in 1970. And he's almost sneering at you. Is that what the feeling was? Do you think? I mean, was he looking directly at you when you took that shot?
Yeah, he was. Yeah, that was a council meeting about getting more riot equipment for the police, and it was quite an uproar among the community that this was not appropriate. The Vancouver police did not need riot equipment to keep the hippies down, because Tom Campbell hated the hippies.
Yeah.
And so there was quite a large contingent of people at that council meeting. And I went along to, of course, to see what it was going to be like and what was happening, and got that shot of Tom Campbell. He was very much an anti-hippie mayor when the... when Trudeau brought in the War Measures Act, Tom Campbell wanted to use it to round up all the hippies and throw them in jail.
Yeah.
But, of course, they couldn't do that. There was such an uproar about it. But that was sort of his mentality. That's what he was thinking. You know? So I think the picture captures his feelings about the hippies.
Yeah, you mentioned Trudeau. You have photographs in the book of Pierre Elliott Trudeau. People like him, people like Cesar Chavez, Bob Dylan, Janis Joplin, Campbell even. Did you have much interaction with them before or after taking the photograph?
No, not really. No. Trudeau, I thought was very interesting man. The close-up of Trudeau is taken from the back of a flatbed truck. I grabbed the shot, and, you know, took it and left. And it was after I left that there was a bit of a riot went on there, and some windows were broken and things. But the shot of him with the women was very, very interesting. Looking back at that and looking at the photograph again after, you know, not seeing it for 40 years, that was about they actually took the time to sit down with these women and hear their point of view about abortion. And looking at the photograph, and my memory of it was that there was virtually no security whatsoever. I just walked in, and you know, it was at the Bayshore Inn, mm-hmm. and I just walked in, and it was in one of the meeting rooms there, and there were all these women there, and there was this, you know, back and forth discussion. He was listening, and you know, so I took a few photographs and that. I think I had that published in the Vancouver Sun. I can't really remember whether it was the Sun or the Province, but one of the newspapers. So he was an interesting man, but he kind of blew it with the War Measures Act.
Yeah, the shot, the close-up that you've alluded to already, I mean, someone compared that to Karsh. I mean, that's pretty good, a pretty good review, don't you think?
I'm not sure I'm in Karsh's category there. The Trudeau shot was a grab shot off the back of a truck.
Yeah.
But Karsh, of course, was a wonderful Canadian photographer. Great respect for him.
Well, when you have come back to Vancouver, whenever you have, I mean, you've been here a few times since 1974, right?
Quite a number of times, actually, yeah.
Yeah, what do you think of the city?
My whole family is in.
Oh, really? Are they all here?
Yeah, everybody's here.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, what do you make of how Vancouver's turned out, what it's become?
That's a delicate question, isn't it? I'm not too sure what to make of it, you know. In some aspects, it's a wonderful city. You know, it's very progressive. It's hip. It's very yuppified, I find.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a lot of that kind of atmosphere there. In another sense, it's a bit disappointing that some of the problems that were there in 1974 when I left haven't been solved at all. And I'm thinking things like Hastings Street. Why is that still there? Why is it still so ugly and lots of homeless people and drug addicts hanging around on Hastings and Main? They were hanging around on Hastings and Main since the 1950s.
Mm-hmm.
Why hasn't that been changed? Look at Granville Street. Granville Street, say, south of Georgia, the Granville Mall. Why hasn't that been changed? Granville Mall never worked, and I'm almost surprised that it hasn't really changed. So, good things and bad things, but that's true of every city, isn't it? I don't think any city is perfect, and yet Vancouver always comes up as, you know, the first or second best city to live in the world. There you go. So, Sydney, by the way, comes out, you know, third or fourth or fifth, somewhere in there.
You've picked some pretty good cities to live in, haven't you?
I'm sorry?
You've picked some pretty good cities to live in, haven't you?
Yeah, I think I have. You know, I think I have. Perth is in the West Coast was a wonderful city when we first arrived there back in '74. I couldn't believe it. You know, you could rent a half a duplex, you know, two bedroom half a duplex with a backyard and a front yard for $25 a week.
Wow!
You know, we thought we were in heaven. You know,
yeah.
This is terrific. You could buy a liter bottle of beer for 50 cents. That's one of the reasons we never moved. The weather was fantastic. The life living was easy. We lived there for 10 years. You know,
yeah.
We came to Sydney, and we've been here in Sydney since about 1984, I think it was. And of course, we lived in Vancouver, so yeah, some of the best cities in the world, I reckon.
Yeah, the you talk about the things that haven't changed, even though you know, we like to think things have changed a great deal in Vancouver. There's a shot in the book. It's actually opposite the Tom Campbell shot that I like. It's the old lady going through the garbage bin while people walk past her looking. And the caption is just beautiful. Not everyone was doing well. Robson Street at Howe, 1970.
Yeah.
Just
and that hasn't changed, has it?
No. And it's just a heartbreaking shot, you know. And just a beautiful
image. I mean, every city is facing that. We have that here in Sydney. And, you know, quite honestly, I can't understand why that's still going on. I can't understand why, you know, wealthy countries, really, really, really wealthy countries like Canada and Australia and America have this huge disparity of wealth, you know. And some people are doing it really tough, and others are living easy. But I guess it's always going to be that way.
Yeah. Well, when you...
It doesn't have to be, but...
Yeah, when you were living in Vancouver, did you live at 4th and U?
4th and U, I had my studio at 4th and U.
Oh, I see, okay. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Just off 4th, actually, about 20 meters. There used to be a little shop there, and when I left the Vancouver province, I got fired from the province as a freelancer, so I was looking around what to do, and I said, well, I think I'll just open up a little studio and get a darkroom. The main thing for me was getting a darkroom, and so I found this empty shop at 4th, just off 4th and U, on U, and it was cheap, and so I built a darkroom in there and had the front. It wasn't really a studio in the sense that I had lights and would be, you know, shooting in the front there. I wasn't doing any of that kind of stuff. I never did any studio work. But it was mainly having a good darkroom, and I built a lovely darkroom there, nice and big and spacious, and, you know, really worked very well. Had an excellent enlarger and that, so I could do all my work there. That's gone now. We went back there and had a look at it, but the building's no longer there, so there you go. You know, things change.
So
I spent quite a lot at 4th Avenue, yeah.
Yeah, where did you live in Kits, or?
Yeah, we lived in Kits at that time, and we lived in all kinds of places. We moved very regularly. When Lindsay and I first got married, we lived in the West End, and then we moved to another place in the West End near Broad Bridge, lived in the basement there, and then we moved to Kits, and we moved to, where else did we go? I think Point Grey, we lived up there. So we moved all over the place, but we spent quite a lot of time in Kits in that general area.
When people see this book at bookstores, or they're listening to us and they haven't picked it up yet, or they have picked it up and they're thinking about the photographs that they see inside, what do you want readers to know about Vancouver and what it was like in those years, 1967 to 1974?
I think the main thing is have a look at the changes that came down. And have a look, and look where a lot of the stuff that's going on today started. It began there, and people changed, and the times changed. But a lot of the things that maybe I shouldn't say a lot of things. I mean, perhaps I should say some of the things that are going on today actually began in those days. And Vancouver in those days changed a lot. And what you see in Vancouver today really comes from that era. It became a much hipper place, a much, you know, cool place. It was, and Vancouver in many ways is still that. There's a lot of vibrant energy going on in Vancouver, arts and things like the film industry has come up there now, things like that. That's all part of started in a very small way in the beginning in Vancouver there in those days. And, other thing is, I just hope that people enjoy it. And I enjoy the photographs for what they are. They're photographs, you know. Have a look.
Yeah, I've enjoyed this book a great deal, as well as this conversation today. I really appreciate you taking the time to do this, this book. I urge people to pick it up because it's a wonderful way to look back. Good night, Vlad.
Thank you very much for your time. Thank you.
The book is called Seize the Time, Vancouver Photograph, 1967 to 1974. It's from New Star Books. Its author, Vladimir Karamidzhev, joined me on the line from Sydney, Australia. In Vancouver, I'm Joseph Planta.